right. Well, if you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, please. Again, I encourage you to take your section of your faith promise card that you took off this morning and put it somewhere, tape it to the insert of your Bible perhaps, or you know, a journal or somewhere in your devotional time, and just be remembered to pray over that, that God would continue to provide and send these funds through us, and I know He will. And again, if you have not given your card yet as a member, they're available, and you can do that here in the next week. I think 2 weeks from now we'll try to make our final total, so that way we can move forward and as these missionaries are visiting and considering them for support. All right, Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. I'm going to begin reading in verse 30. I've preached this message once before here. It's probably about 3 years ago. And I'd like to preach it again and just bring out some points to remind us of the great ministry of praying for our missionaries. Notice what it says here in verse 30. Paul says, "Now I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, I confess to you tonight that I have no power of my own, and I just pray you'd empty me of self, and that I would just yield to your Spirit and have the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and that I would be able to proclaim your word in a way that would be helpful and encouraging tonight to your precious people, to the precious body of Christ here at Crooked Creek. And I prayed as a result of this truth that we all would be more committed to pray for our missionaries, to partner together with them, not just financially, but prayerfully. God, thank you for this opportunity to be together again tonight. May you change our lives. I believe you will. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The title of this message is Paul's plea for prayer. Paul's plea for prayer. Paul is writing to the Church of Rome here, a place that he longed to visit. We see several occasions where he was looking forward to seeing them. And we notice in verse 23, he says, "But now having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you." That was Paul's desire. He wanted to get to them, and he's actually going to ask them to pray about that. And he goes on in verse 24, says, "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey." And so, but right now, he's on a mission to go to Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting to note that we have talked about faith promise giving, the offering that was for the poor saints in Jerusalem. Brother Stedman talked about that offering. I've talked about it the week before. But it's interesting to note that this is the offering that he's going to give reference to. That's this offering. He is taking it to the saints in Jerusalem, and he's actually asking the Christians in Rome to pray for him as he delivers this gift, as he delivers what the Macedonians have given and what the Corinthians have given. And there's some special prayer requests that that revolve around this trip. But number one, I want us to notice that this is a passionate plea. It's not a complacent plea. It's definitely not an apathetic plea. It is, "I beseech you." And if I believe I'm accurate in saying this, Brother Christian, I believe I'm accurate in saying this. I believe that the missionaries that we support, and any missionary for that matter, but I'm just going to keep it to, you know, down to who we, where we are, what we're doing, I believe that the missionaries we support are begging us to pray for them. We may not necessarily have them calling saying, you know, please, 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 oh, please, pray. Now, sometimes when it's something urgent, we will get some notices like that. But without even an urgent prayer request, I think we need to be reminded tonight that every family that we support are, in essence, in their spirit, are begging us to uphold them in prayer. And so we're doing an injustice, church, that we need to understand that if we're only supporting them financially, that's a need. It's really God's plan for us to do that, but also to partner together with them in prayer. It's a passionate plea that Paul is giving here. He says here also it's a persuasive plea. He is persuading them. Look at the motivation he gives them. He says, I beseech you, brethren, I beg you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Now, that's a good motivation, is it not? I mean, if I'm going to ask for prayer, that's the main motivation. For the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for His glory, for His kingdom, for His church, for His plan. That's my motivation. My prayer for you, and I hope your prayer for me as your pastor, and my prayer for you as a church member, is that, number one, that our lives would represent and honor Jesus Christ. Because it's all about Him. Amen? If we're not here for the glory of Jesus Christ, we should just pack up and go home because we're not a real New Testament church. But I believe we are, and I believe we're striving for that, and Paul is saying that, and I believe as we think about our missionary families, we can't just look at it as we don't want to feel guilty, so we pray for the missionary. We don't want to look at it that way. We want to look at these families. I'm just brought a couple cards up here with me, but I even think about the Jerkbergs here. I have their card, just a beautiful family here. They've added one since this card. And the needs that they have. And they're seeking to get back to Madagascar and working on that. They're hoping to get back very soon. But I believe that it would honor Jesus Christ and for His sake if we make it a matter of prayer for these families. Personal prayer. Pleading for them. But not only for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, but then he says, get this, for the love of the Spirit. I believe this is talking about because of the love of in our hearts that the Holy Spirit produces. So, question we have tonight, are we allowing the Holy Spirit to love these missionaries through us? You know? I mean, if I'm going to be able to try to connect with them, I want my heart to be directed towards them and their need, towards their families. And I think about the very fact that we have missionary families that are in all different countries. I mean, look at our room right now. Beautiful color. And if Ms. Doris had her way, we would have these year-round. Amen. Yeah, I knew that would get you. I understand completely. And it's special. But each of them represent families in different countries with different contexts, with different challenges. And so it's good for us to be mindful of those challenges, and through that, the love of the Spirit of God that's going to bring in our hearts, it comes with demonstrating that. And how do we do that? We're going to talk about that here in a minute. We're going to talk about how we can know better how to pray for them. But it's a persuasive plea for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God loves these missionaries, and He's going to love us through them. I think everybody here would admit that we all like feeling loved. Would you admit that tonight? It feels good to be loved. Amen? And a lot of times, and really because of the nature of the ministry, a lot of times missionaries are out of mind, out of sight. A lot of times we're not reaching out to them. We're not sending an email. We're not praying for them. And a lot of times missionaries feel unloved. It's not true. We love them dearly. We thank God for them. But we have a responsibility to express that love. And really, the one way we do it is praying for them, but to let them know, like, I would be concerned if my wife never told me she loved me. I'd be concerned about that. I mean, you know, I know sometimes I don't deserve to be told that, okay? All right? I understand that. And some of you men need to smile right there because you know it's true for you too. But the truth of the matter is, it would just be, it'd be a little weird. You know, and she could say, and I could agree with her. It says, well, honey, I don't need to tell you that. Because I know it's true, and I mean it, and I just want you to know that whether I say it or not. Okay, I get that. But, and she doesn't do that, by the way. But the fact, my illustration is our missionaries, they need to hear how we do love them. It's important. So we see not only a passionate plea, a persuasive plea for our motivation, but we see a plea of partnership. Paul is using some strong terminology here. If you want to underline it in your Bible, you can. I think here we see he says after for love of the Spirit, he says that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. That word strive is a military term. It actually carries the idea of giving forth great effort to help someone who is struggling or helping somebody that's in a fight and fighting alongside them. And so it's really getting directly involved with their life and helping them struggle, whatever it might be. It's not just a casual experience where we say, Lord, bless the missionaries. And I suppose there's a place for that. I try to guard being critical of that. I mean, I've prayed that. I'm sure you have. But what Paul is asking here is much more than that. He's asking for an earnestness. He's asking for fervency, a wrestling time with the missionary. Now, here's the thing that we have to ask ourselves. How do we know what to wrestle for with them? Well, there's really no other way unless they call you personally, unless something God just really lays upon your heart, and God does do that. I've heard of testimonies, God waking people up in the night. Some people have told me that when we were in Niger and just placed them on our heart. God does that, and I'm thankful. But one of the best ways that we know what a missionary might be battling, whether it be sickness, whether it be government red tape, whether it be discouragement, whether it be just no fruit, nobody's really responding, the best way to find that is by reading the prayer letters. It is so important for us to be aware of what these missionaries are struggling with. Why? So that we can struggle with them, wrestle with them, fight with them. And we do that because we love them, and we do that for the sake of Jesus Christ and His glory. Let me just pause right there. If you are not currently receiving our missionary prayer letters, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. We've had some added just in the past several weeks. But you can also jot down this email address. This is our secretary. This is Noel. She will get this, and she will forward the addresses. She'll get them to Brother Charles Henry. Charles receives the letters as they come here to the office, the ones that are hard copy. He scans them and sends them out. There's nothing else said to them. It's just the letter that's sent, the name, and then those that send digital copy, we forward them. And so it's not junk mail. These are people who we love, who we support, and who we are praying for. And so please jot that down if you're not currently receiving, and request to receive those letters. I think it will be a great blessing to you. So we see that there's a plea of partnership, but then notice with me, there's a personal plea. we see here, and at the end of verse number 30, he says that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. You know, Paul was a man of like passion. He was made of the same flesh that we all are. I didn't know Paul personally. I feel like I get to know him better and better every time I read his epistles. Feel like you learn the heart of Paul. And really, the more you read about him, honestly, I don't know if y'all agree with me, the more you just fall in love with the man. He was just a servant of the Lord. He was humble. He struggled like all of us, but he had a heart for God. He wanted to make a difference. And I'm thankful for that. It makes me feel better when he talks about how he struggled with sin. When he wanted to do right, he did wrong. There were times of that nature in his life. And what I want to bring out about that is when Paul says, pray for me, we got to understand, these missionaries struggle just like we do. Okay? You know, they can have bad attitudes just like us. You know? They can be lazy just like us. They can struggle with worry and anxiety just like us. They get lonely just like we do. But I will say this, and I'm not putting missionaries up on a pedestal. I'm not trying to do that. They are a special called out people of God. I recognize that. And God is no respecter of persons, but we need to honor them and to realize that they do face, especially our foreign missionaries, they do face more loneliness than we do. The fellowship that we have here is amazing and something that Americans many times take for granted. And what I mean by that is I can remember times in North Africa, even in Niger, that there were months that would go on that we would not see another American, and that had its advantages. That had its pluses, of course. But as far as having some moments of fellowship to be sharpened and strengthened, well, it was far and few. I'm reading right now a missionary biography on John Patton, and I'm looking forward to reading it to my kids. I wanted to go through it first. It's not a very long book, but one of the testimonies that he gave is that he was on one side of the island, and there was another missionary on the other side, and they hardly ever saw each other. But there was one occasion where he went to check on them because he had gotten word. This is, of course, in the late 1800s. He had gotten word that they were very sick. And so he went and found them and took them some supplies. And he said they were able to have about 2 or 3 hours of fellowship before he had to go back to the other side because they were reaching cannibals. And he had to get back before dark. Otherwise, he would have been taken in the night. And so he had to come. But the testimony he gave, he said that was almost the sweetest 3 hours of his life, of just being able to go and talk with another brother and sister, like-minded faith, and to receive that encouragement. But a lot of missionaries don't have that. And we forget that, don't we? That we see each other all the time in churches. We got friends. We got other Christian friends in our workplaces, in our schools. And we just sometimes take it for granted, don't we? But what I'm trying to tell you here is there's some very lonely missionaries out there that need for us to struggle with them, to strive with them, to pray for them specifically. That it says, Paul says, with me, and then he says, pray for me. So quickly, let me just look at a few things here. Number two, we see Paul's plea, but number two, we see Paul's prayer request. Those are found in verses 31 and 32. All right? So Paul's prayer request is this. Number one, he has three that he gives here. Number one, he says he has a prayer to be delivered. Notice what the Bible says. Pray that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. He's talking about unbelievers. He's talking about people that were hostile against Christians and just truly wicked and deceitful men that would love to take out Paul, to take his life. And so what he's praying here, would you pray that I would be delivered from unreasonable men? In fact, if you want to hold your place there, that same request is given in 2 Thessalonians. You can hold your place there in 2 Corinthians. Look over there at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. We see that Paul also asked this dear church to pray for him. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. 2 Thessalonians 3, 2. He starts off, finally, brethren, pray for us. We'll talk about that here in a second, about that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. But notice verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Again, I just give reference because it's fresh in my mind, but reading about John Patton, there are many times that he would go into a village and there would be these cannibals around and these chiefs of these villages, and they were constantly threatening his life. And there was not a time that he just was not praying, God, deliver me. You have to deliver me. And as I go before these people, because some of the people were turning to Christ, and he says, listen, for the gospel's sake, these people have to realize that our God is more powerful than the gods, lowercase g, that they are worshiping. And sure enough, several of those times he would go in, and one of the traditions, if you will, that if one of the visitors came into the village and gave someone something to eat, then that was an automatic death wish. In other words, they believed that that person was going to die. And so what did John Patton do? He said, I got to go in here and give these people some food because they need to see that our God is greater. And he did. And then a week went by and nothing had happened. And he went back to the same camp and took more food. And they recognized right then that the missionary came in and says, your God is more powerful than ours. But that was the delivering hand of God. And that's something you can pray specifically for your missionaries and for our missionaries, is that wherever they're ministering, whether it's Scotland, Ireland, whether it's in Ghana or India, that the people that they're ministering to, that they would see that the God that these missionaries are bringing to them are more powerful than their local gods. That will make a difference. And I'm including all cults. I'm including other religions that claim that they have the power. Think of Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, you name it. Atheism, Mormonism, Catholicism. What the missionaries are taking is to realize the gospel and the God of the Bible is more powerful and more dependable than the rest of them. And that's something we can pray as they go forth, to be delivered from ungodly, unreasonable. And also, secondly, we see a prayer to be accepted. 31b. Notice what it says here in the second part of verse 31. Not only to be delivered, but that my service... That's the offering he's talking about. That my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. Now, this is an interesting prayer request. Why wouldn't the people want to receive an offering? I mean, you would think that, hey, these people are poor, they're starving, they need help, they need encouragement. You would think that they would have no problems receiving all these funds coming from the Macedonian churches and the church in Corinth. So why would Paul say, pray with me that this offering will be accepted? Well, you got to imagine there was a lot of persecution going on. And here comes the Apostle Paul, a man who was well known for being a gospel preacher, bold in his faith, not ashamed. He was known for that. And so here he is going to come into Jerusalem with an offering. And I guarantee you, there were some that were hesitant to associate themselves with Paul. And I want to tell you, church, this is the real deal for missionaries that go into various parts of the world, especially when they would go into a foreign land. People are very skeptical of them. The message they have is pure, it's right, but people are afraid to associate them because of what their neighbors would think, what their relatives would think, what their family would think, what their ancestors would think who have been long gone but are seeing their every move. And when a missionary goes into that town, that village, that city, we need to pray that they would have a special acceptance from the people. That there would be something that shows up in their life that God will use to show that those missionaries are sincere. Those missionaries are genuine. Those missionaries do care. Those missionaries do have the truth. And so I believe it's important that we pray that the missionary would be accepted where he is. And not just the missionary, but most importantly, brethren, we must pray that the message will be accepted. Pray that not only the missionary would be accepted, but that the message. That's why Paul prayed, and we're not going to read it again, but in Thessalonians he said, pray that the Word of God would have free course. That means just have liberty into the people and to be glorified into them as it is in you, because the Thessalonians, boy, they got a hold of it. It changed their lives. They turned from idols into the living God. And that's what we ought to pray for our dear missionaries all over the world. So we see a prayer to be accepted. Then, lastly here, I just want to look at a prayer to be encouraged. Verse 32. He says, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Our missionaries need to be refreshed. They need to be encouraged. And so what we need to commit tonight, and I should say recommit, is that we are going to make it our purpose to seek to encourage the missionaries that represent these flags. And I'm praying that tonight you will join with me in, again, recommitting. Not saying you're not doing this, but maybe you're not. I don't want to just assume everybody is praying for the missionaries. I don't want to assume that everybody is trying to contact the missionaries and stay in touch with them. But I do believe that tonight we all together can say, you know, Lord, this is something we really should be doing and that we want to do. Because they need to be refreshed. There are some missionary wives out there that don't have another lady to talk to. They don't have another lady to go get coffee with. They don't have another lady or somebody to come watch the children. These missionaries don't have grandparents on the field, the great majority of them, to watch the kids. They don't necessarily have somebody trustworthy in the church that could watch them. Some of them do. And they just need encouragement. That might be in the way of a card. It might be in the way of a gift box. You know, we got Christmas coming up. I wonder if anybody here would have an idea of how we might encourage our missionaries. We typically take up do a love offering, and I'm not opposed to doing that, but I wonder if we shouldn't do something a little bit more personal this year. Maybe send a card to every missionary family. Several cards, maybe. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. Maybe there's somebody here that would catch a burden with that. And it just doesn't need to be the missions committee. This is all of us. You have an idea of that nature, but just a way to reach out and to encourage them, to refresh them. That's what Paul said here. He wanted to be refreshed. Paul was a man who was incarcerated often. He was persecuted often. And boy, it sure felt good to get refreshed. And he knew those people in Rome would do that. And that was his prayer. But that's something that we can pray, that God would send encouragement. And it might come in the most smallest ways. It might come in the most minute detail of life is where encouragement can come. And so as you're praying for the missionary, Lord, would you encourage this missionary today on the field? You might be able to pray something like this. Lord, would you give them something today that they're not expecting and that would be very personal to them? I want to tell you the day that Brinson Jennings walked into a third world store there in Agadez, Niger, Africa, and saw a jar of Skippy peanut butter. You want to know how encouraging that was? You think I'd won the lottery, brother. Honey, we got peanut butter. Because the other stuff that they sold, I don't even know where that came from. It looked like peanut butter. They did have that art down. They could make stuff look like the real thing. But when you tasted it, that was a whole different story. You know it was bad. We used to laugh about this. You know, we laugh about stuff made in China. But I want to tell you what, it was so bad that they would have stuff with labeled made in China, but it was actually made in Nigeria. They just put made in China. There were all kinds of ways, you know, this may seem crazy to you, but we were excited when you could find some decent toilet paper. I mean, here you got 47,000 varieties, which during COVID, whoever owned toilet paper companies made a lot of money during COVID. But little things, it was amazing, you know, when we could go and find chicken, frozen chicken, because the chicken they had out there, you know, the chickens they had running around, you couldn't do that. You'd be chewing for days. But boy, you could get this frozen chicken that came in from Brazil. And when we got that, oh boy, it was like Thanksgiving all over again. In fact, most Thanksgivings we had chicken, didn't we, honey? Yeah, that's what we had. Nothing wrong with having chicken on Thanksgiving, amen? That's just the way it is. But I would have been afraid to eat any turkey from there, but I think chicken was just great. I'm just mentioning a few things that were such a blessing to us. Little things of encouragement that go a long way. So tonight, I wonder if there's some folks here that that have some ways that you have prayed for missionaries, ways that your family has found it helpful, and things that you have practiced as a family. I wonder if there's some here that you'd be willing to share some of that. I'll share just briefly a couple things that we do. One of the things I like to do is I like to put the ball back in the children's court when we do go to pray. What missionary would you like to pray for tonight? And sometimes I'll even say that you haven't prayed for in a while. Okay? And it helps them think of other missionaries that we have, and we'll go through the list. No, we prayed for them recently. No, we prayed. And we end up going to the list. Oh, yeah, we hadn't prayed for them in a long time. And so what we'll do is we'll just bring their names up and pray for them in that way. We also have prayer cards that we can go through at the table, that we keep in a little desk, and that we can go through, and as we see their names and their faces, we may say, all right, you want to take that one? And then we'll pray for them in that way and seek to be an encouragement to them. Another way is to use your missionary conference booklet. That's a good one. We also have this option here, the missionary prayer guide. That's available in the foyer if you don't have one. It's got a picture of all our missionaries and their email address and their names and the names of their children. But is there anybody here that would just like to share something? Just want to open it up. Somebody share something that you do that is found helpful and encouraging. Can somebody share? Yes, Becky? Good, good. Praying that the wicked one would be blinded. Because, again, we have missionaries serving in some unique places such as North Africa, and where there's lots of persecution, Indonesia, a lot of terrorist activity in those areas, and that's a good one. Someone else, so a way you pray, Tim? Sure. That's a good idea. That's right. What are some things that you guys are currently practicing that you have found that works for your family, Eugenia? Good idea. She prints the prayer letter. She and Jim print the prayer letter. They have a little binder with the sleeves, and they just stick them in alphabetical order by name, and then they just pray for two or three when they have their Bible reading at night or devotional time. And so that's a great idea. Someone else, something that's worked for your family or that you do, not necessarily every night, but just even from time to time, what are some things that you may practice that you have found helpful? someone else. Yes, Sherry? Oh, yeah, that's a neat idea. If you got especially young children, you contact the missionary, ask for a favorite recipe and a game that they like playing together that's unique to that field. And try it with your kids. That's an excellent way to connect with them and be in touch. Someone else, anybody else, have some things that you've practiced as a family you found helpful? Because these things help us all, you know. I mean, different people do different things. But anybody else? Yes, Brother Arthur? Yes. It's a good idea. Arthur was saying sometimes they'll contact the missionary through social media ask for something specific to pray about, or maybe they post something. We have several of our missionary families like Matt Herbster and others that update quite often, that's helpful, things of that nature. And there are other ways. Again, I just encourage you to be proactive in that and making sure that you are, that you and I are really engaging and praying. So I'm going to ask Noel if you would come and to the piano, and we're going to have an invitation time. And so what this invitation is for all of us, because I wonder if we would all agree tonight that we all can do a better job in this realm. Would you say amen if that's true? Amen. Well, tonight, as we respond to the Lord, let's just do that. Let's just have God work in our hearts. And remember, the Spirit of God is for the love of the Spirit and for the sake of Jesus Christ. We come and partner together. We strive with them. Let's know them better. And I'm going to seek to grow more in making these missionary letters more available, making the information available. But you too can get them by email, and let's just do a better job. And any ideas that you may have, a couple were mentioned tonight, please relay them to me. Relay them to Brother Jemanski or Brother Charles Hinder, anybody on the committee, Lori Hayes or Kerry Stringer. You know, just relay them to us, and we will actually consider it and think about implementing it, as it be something the Lord is in and that we would want to do. So would you stand with me as the musician begins to play? Let's just go to the Lord. If you want to come down here at this altar.